we're going to talk about the art of composting. There are really three different types of composting. There's anaerobic, aerobic, and vermicomposting.
Right. So that kind of breaks down to hot composting, cold composting, and worm composting.
Right, right, right.
I mean, if you want to break it down to simpler terms.
Now, aerobic composting is a process of whether you're using a tumbler or a pile, but you are incorporating a lot of air, a lot of oxygen into it. You're turning it on a regular basis, whether mechanically in a tumbler or, you know, with a compost mixer or by hand with a pitchfork or a shovel, but you're forcing air into the compost pile, which helps speed up the breakdown process. Now, side note, if you're incorporating a lot of weeds and weed seeds into your compost pile, the aerobic process is the best process because it's going to heat the pile up and get to a level in which it's going to kill the viability or the germination of those seeds.
That's the one that is the hot compost.
Right.
And so with that, you want to have a ratio of 30 to 1 carbon to nitrogen.
30 is the carbon and 1 is the nitrogen.
Correct.
Because we've always heard the, oh, 50-50 ratio, 50-50 ratio. That's kind of been the default of making compost. What do we put in it? 50-50. That's what you do. But in order to get a better breakdown process, because the green material, the nitrogen, is moist. It has a lot of moisture, whether you're using your old watermelon rinds or grass clippings or kitchen scraps, whatever the case is, there's a lot of moisture going into that. You don't want your pile to be soggy. You want it to be damp like a sponge.
Right. You want it to, yeah, to be damp like a sponge, and you want it to get warm enough where it's going to break that down.
Uh-huh.
It has something to eat.
Right. The yeah. core temperature to kill seeds that you don't want to germinate is, I think it's 170 degrees for 72 hours or something like that. But you will get these piles, and these manufacturers of compost, they do in giant windrows. We had a company many years ago that sponsored some of our video productions, and they had windrows. They were about 12 feet wide, 10 foot high, and about a couple hundred feet long of leaf compost. And they those piles got so hot that they actually cooked a turkey in the center of that pile in the dead of winter. So these piles get very hot. Obviously, the determination on how hot your pile gets is, one, the material that you've put in that pile, and two, the size of that pile that you've put that material in. The size of a 55-gallon drum, not going to get nearly as warm as the size of a minivan. So keep that in mind whenever you're manufacturing or creating your compost in your backyard or on your property.
Did you know that compost is about 20% oxygen?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So your compost, as long as it's, properly composted.
Right.
It's about 20% oxygen. That's okay. A lot of oxygen, I think.
And then let's talk about the aerobic compost, or the lack of air to the compost. This is considered the cold composting, or what we know every day as landfill composting. They throw the stuff in, they cover it up, it creates a methane gas, and then they have to vent that out. Otherwise, you know, explosions can happen and cool movie stuff can happen, but in real life, that's not so fun. This also occurs if you
are, I mean, it could be fun as long as you're not responsible.
Well, now what they're doing with this methane is they are capturing it instead of burning it off because it's such a valuable fossil fuel now. I guess it's a fossil fuel. I don't know. It's such a valuable – there's money behind it. Because there's money behind something, that's when things start happening. Oh, we're burning the methane off. We could capture that and sell that to residents for heating, and that's what they're doing. So methane, the aerobic process, the lack of air, it's not that there's no air in it. It's just not mixed in like the aerobic.
Right. And this is basically where you're just having a compost pile.
You just keep throwing it on.
So whether it be like a bin you have in your backyard, or you just have a pile, or you create something with like pallets, whatever, this is something that you just keep throwing out. Whatever it is, you might mix it once a year. You might dump it out to get the good compost and sift it. But this is not like a 30 to 1 ratio. This is like 10 to 90 or whatever. Who knows, right?
Because we've done it. We've done the cold compost where we've had, you know, literally a foot of weeds and then 2 foot of leaves and kitchen scraps, and it breaks down.
All of the above.
But right. It doesn't, you know, kill those viable seeds, that weed seeds.
So this is what we do. I'm sure people listening probably are like, well, what do you do with this weedy, seedy compost?
Yeah, it's compost, so, but it's got weed seeds
in it. So what we do is we take and we put it at the bottom of things. So the bottom of, like, a raised bed, bottom of those 60-gallon grow bags. Is it 60-gallon?
Yeah, 60-gallon.
60-gallon grow bags from Rootmaker. And we use it like that. We could even use it as possible fill for things. So
and lumps, lumps and bumps in the yard. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of options for that. Ideally, I would like to do hot composting. But is that ideal for us? No. But we are still composting.
Right. And you get the anaerobic process. For those who are familiar with livestock or farming, in the cattle lot where the cattle or the hay bale sets. It sets there all winter long, and then you go in there in the spring. Farmers, some of you, you know, if you're in downtown Pittsburgh, you're not doing this. So I'll explain it. Where the cattle feed the hay at, they sit there and they eat and they defecate and it piles up. And then there's a certain amount of loss of hay. So that gets cleaned up in the spring, and it's very anaerobic because it's been compressed. There's no oxygen. So the farmers pick it up and put it in a device called a manure spreader. They take it to the field and it spreads out, and they basically feed the, you know, it's like a fertilizer. That's what it is. But I remember that smell is very potent. It's a very methane smell because it cannot escape that area. So that's an anaerobic. Now we talk vermicompost.
So vermicomposting is worm composting.
And there's two benefits to worm composting. You get the worm tea, and mm-hmm. you get the worm the vermicompost, or the
worm compost.
Worm castings.
Right. And we talked about this a few shows back. And this is using these, but you're not – okay. So just to clarify.
Yeah, let's start from the beginning. We got time.
You're not going to go out to your yard and dig up worms and put them in a composting bin. And ta-da, vermicompost.
You're going to do that one time, and they're all going to die.
Yeah, they're all going to die. And then your fishing friend will be like, you just lost all this bait. So you want to use composting worms. And where do you get composting worms? Typically online.
Mm-hmm.
They send them, and then you
have your Compost has that available to you by using coupon code REDWORM21, and you can save 10% off your order. And you can get composting worms, composters, and everything you need for worm composting from CousinsCompost.com.
Right. So you set up a bin with a lid, and you can use anything from like a styrofoam cooler. That's what most people use because it allows you to layer. It has enough room to layer different things. The compost, a carbon base, so that would include like newspapers or shredded paper. Some soil and then your food scraps and your worms. And so the
fewer on the citrus because they're
right.
not. Yeah.
Yeah. Fewer on the citrus. And this is something that you would only add your compost once a day. So say you're like, okay, well, I had a banana for breakfast and I have some tomato waste for lunch. And then I have, some carrot peels and zucchini peels for dinner. You would just, kind of put those together. And then at the end of the day or whatever, you would add those because the more times you open the bin, it kind of disturbs the worms.
And in order to make it easier for the worms to ingest these items, some people will get an El Cheapo blender from a secondhand store, and they'll pulverize the material, add just a teeny bit of water in order to get it to process it, and then drapes it in the worm bin, and that is able for the worms to process it much quicker instead of eating a big leaf that you've thrown in there that you didn't finish with your salad.
Right, or a whole banana peel.
And if you have a salad, you want to be careful what oils you put in there. Or they don't like oils. There's a lot of things that you need to be aware of. But it can be a very easy way to compost indoors year-round, and the smell is very limited to none. So if you've got a basement or a climatized garage or even a side room that – the smell is not going to be that potent, if any. You can certainly compost. And this is a great way for kids to do as well. Or if you are able to do such a thing, maybe like a retirement facility,
right,
of something sort like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you could do that in a lot of situations, especially maybe something you want to do over winter, get started into the habit. And it's a way to kind of make – connect yourself to the earth in the dead of winter.
So the art of composting, let's go over what we shouldn't compost. Now, this list is subject for debate, and your mileage will vary in your backyard and your property, because the general rule of composting in a normal urban setting is no meat, no bones, no dairy. Now, if you have a 40-acre plot of land and you got a compost pile 3/4 mile away from the house, you can throw the meat, you can throw the bones, you can put the dairy in there. The purpose of a lot of that do not do this is simply because it will attract rodents and scavengers like coyotes or wolves or foxes into your pile. You don't really want that on the back porch. But if your pile is very far away, that will all eventually break down. And the digging around of these animals actually can help the breakdown process occur much quicker. With that being said, you want to make sure your pile is far enough away and you feel safe enough to do that. And that's our disclaimer.
Right. You have to consider your own, I don't know, your own location, basically.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that being said, talking about foxes and wolves and coyotes and all the scavengers, getting that time of year where you will be hunting, or it's time to butcher out the animals, or you just want good spices, Walton's Incorporated has all of that and a whole lot more for you.
Yeah, the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great, but what about the meat? At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's is everything but the meat. That's waltonsinc.com.
And if you're not a meat processing individual, they've got all kinds of seasonings and spices and kitchen cooking utensils, and they've got a deal for you. If you go to waltonsinc.com and you use coupon code GROW22 at checkout, you can save 10% off your order of $50 or more and receive free shipping. That's waltonsinc.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.